The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. And tonight, evidently the state of Texas loves to use elements to kill their prisoners. Would you watch Drake and Chris Brown fight out their differences in the boxing ring? And of course, well, not literally, of course, many, many a year ago, in this wonderful city that is St. Louis, Missouri, two young men dreamed of becoming successful media people. Entrepreneurs, maybe, potentially, requires a big bank account to become entrepreneurs, but yet to become successful media personalities in this town of St. Louis, Missouri. Unfortunately, that never happened. Never happened at all. Neither one of the individuals sitting in front of you have been successful at shit. And, So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please let me introduce to you my co-host for the night, and actually, to be honest with you all, probably the best pairing of two media individuals in the St. Louis area, Mark Bland and Joe Hipperson, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Hipperson, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Fuck you!
Wow! Let's not do that anymore, because I won't do it to you. All right. Joe, thank you for being on the show.
Mark, thank you so much. I've been waiting forever.
No, you weren't. No. You're a liar.
No, I've been waiting for this. I really have. I'm very, very, very excited that we're doing this. I'm very stoked. The subject matter.
We are not sponsored by Purina.
No, no.
Nope.
Who are you?
We don't have any dogs.
Who are you sponsored by?
Fucking nobody.
Okay. Well, the subject matter that you have for tonight.
Yes.
Wow. Riveting. What exactly do you want to cover?
No. No. See, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you what you got here. Fantastically talented man by the name of Joe Hipperson. Been around the St. Louis market for many years, right?
17.
17 years. Oh, wait a second. I've been around for 17 years. Are you the same age as me?
I don't know, nor do I want to climb.
I'm 36.
I'm younger than you.
94 is when I started radio.
Okay.
That'd be 18 years. 1 year on you. 1 year. But that doesn't matter, because the truth is that the pairing of us two together, live on the air like this, could be gold for anybody in the St. Louis area who runs a radio station. You'd probably want to just do this every morning from 5:30 until 6, 6 till 10.
Okay. I'm still waiting
for... Pay a lot of money for it?
Right. All right. So the...
Go ahead.
You know that when you're mic'd, you don't have to shout the entire time, right? I mean, yeah. You do realize that we're wearing microphones, so we can speak and be amplified. We don't have to shout. It's okay.
Are you sure?
So tonight,
I'm sure this works.
What do you? What is the first thing you want to cover tonight? What's the first thing you want to?
Oh, let's talk about this Texas situation.
Okay.
And thank you, by the way, for joining me on the show.
Not a problem. I appreciate the invite.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime that I have 15 minutes before showtime and have no one scheduled, I will make sure you are the first one called.
Thanks.
The state of Texas, as one would expect, of Satan's flavored and favorite playground of hot. It's a very hot tit. It's a hot state.
Hot tit. You just said that. You did just say that.
Yeah, I like tits.
Okay. So you're saying
there's nothing wrong with tits. You don't like tits?
I'm not really a tit guy.
You're not a tit guy. You're an ass guy?
I don't mind a great ass.
We got some stuff we're going to talk about later on in the show that I think you're going to jump right in on, okay?
Okay.
I think you have a lot of experience. Hopefully.
So tits, the state ass. Of Texas, you said...
Yes, it's Satan. A very hot tit, hot state is what I meant to say.
What was the Satan bit?
You know, Satan's favorite playground. You know, it gets down there. It's really hot, hot weather. Listen to the story, then we'll go through it, okay?
Okay.
Texas is also tough on crime, meaning it enjoys locking people in jails, but cares little about what happens to them afterwards. So while Americans love air conditioning for themselves, Texans don't see the point of giving it to prisoners. What next? Water, Joe? They're not going to give it to them? The New York Times reports that two lawsuits have been filed by prisoners in Texas, where only a fifth of the state's prisons are air conditioned. An appeal is pending in a lawsuit initially filed in 2008 by a former inmate claiming that 54 prisoners were exposed to Death Valley-like conditions in a South Texas prison, where the heat index exceeded 126 degrees for 10 days straight indoors. A Texas law requires county jails to maintain a temperature level between 65 and 85 degrees, but the law does not apply to state prisons. Four Texas inmates died from the heat last summer. Four dead. That is a problem. Texas should only have air conditioning in prison and nowhere else, evidently. So, the reason I brought this up, because,
I'm looking to see why you brought it up. Since we broadcast out of, what?
They're watching you on TV. Look
I know.
At them.
I know.
Don't look at me. I know. It's hard to stop. It's a beautiful face. Pay attention.
All right.
Texas. Prisoners dying in prisons. Do you have a problem with that?
No.
Technically? I mean, seriously?
No.
You don't? And no. It don't matter how hot it is to you? Do you care if it's hot in a prison? Like, well, I'm talking about 126 degree weather in a prison, man.
Where do you think government tax money should go? All right, tax money in general. Should that go more towards making sure prisoners are air-conditioned or that homeless shelters are air-conditioned?
Homeless shelters.
I agree. Do you have any statistic on whether or not Texas has more funding going towards prisons or homeless shelters?
Nothing.
You have nothing. Okay.
I got nothing on that. All I want to do is get your opinion.
On whether or not.
Honest opinion of
on whether
prisoners
should or should not have air conditioning.
Do you feel, let's talk about this in general. There's a Sheriff Arapaio. Okay, I don't have any notes on this. I'm not going to read from it. It's just general knowledge. This is what I do.
Well, I mean, you've got damn near half the show scripted in front of you anyway, so it's fine.
That's what makes the show so good is that I also have general knowledge. Sheriff Arapaio, you know who he is?
No.
He's from the state of Arizona. He is a very famous sheriff of Maricopa County.
Okay.
And he's one of those guys who likes to put all of his prisoners in pink jumpsuits and pink underwear and feeds them one bologna sandwich a day, a hot cheese sandwich at night, and a piece of toast a bagel with cream cheese spread for breakfast. That's all they get. Quite often, they have a ton. Really?
What?
All right, we have a caller.
Are you going to do little thing again?
We're going to do the call thing.
What's that?
That's, I don't know what the fuck it is. Caller! And we have nothing. Okay.
Well, I thought we did.
Yeah, I thought so too. I can see it right there.
Okay.
Regardless of all that, ladies and gentlemen.
So you don't take phone calls during your show?
I do. There's no one pushing it. Hello? Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't call the show. I'm sorry.
I watch radio.
No, well, they're not.
Now you can see where things are going to hell.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think this is an amazing topic.
Woo!
Let's talk more about prisoners.
Did you just call the show on your own?
Well,
you just do that?
We should discuss the...
It's amazing.
What?
Go for it. Discuss it.
Okay. The whole thing of me calling the show that was fake, you know that. I'm not even holding my phone. I was just, touching myself. You're talking about prisons. So listen... Prison jumpsuits, the guy you're talking about was in Arizona. All right, one more time. Welcome to iWatch Radio. Who's this?
Caller, you're on the air.
You keep screaming.
I just wanted to touch on the pink jumpsuit situation.
Yeah, let's touch on
that. Yeah, let's talk on the pink jumpsuits, please.
You just said let's tug on that. Did you hear that?
I feel like it promotes homosexuality, don't you?
I feel that homosexuality is very prevalent, especially in the 314 area code.
Really?
Yes.
Wasn't a conversation about Arizona. How do we get into 314?
Good question. All right. So you like the pink jumpsuits?
I just feel like it promotes homosexuality in prisoners, and that couldn't be a positive thing for their rehabilitation.
You don't think that homosexuality is a good thing, like as if homosexuality matters at all to their rehabilitation?
Sir, it certainly does, sir.
So if somebody went and killed 20 people, got placed in a cell with Jeffrey Dahmer before he was killed, and they became lovers, that would be a problem.
Yeah, because he couldn't get right with God, how could he get healed?
I don't even know what to
say
to you.
That's my question. How are you going to get healed if you can't get right with God?
How can you can't get right with God. You know what? I love it. Who am I talking with? What's your name?
My name?
Yes.
Is Jason.
Jason, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm well, sir.
You are well. You are ill, but you are well.
I'm watching out of South City, St. Louis.
You are calling out. Dude,
fuck you.
Makes so much sense. That makes sense. I don't even know why.
Sir,
that makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense.
It just does. It makes a lot of sense to me.
I feel like it's not a positive thing to have be promoting homosexuality in prisons, I must be from South City, St. Louis.
Wow. Roll with those punches, baby. That's what I'm talking about right there. South City, St. Louis. Do you have a homosexual problem down there? Like, where is this, how is this homosexual issue stemming from your opinion of this whole Arizona and pink jumpsuits thing? Like, I don't understand. Like, out of nowhere, there's a phone call about naked men fucking each other.
It's simple. Hey, that was kind of harsh language we're using there on air. You guys don't follow FDBA, then deal, do you?
the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Yes, we know them very well. Thank you for bringing them up.
I feel like this is a Christian station with the cursing and the whatnot.
Actually, this is what makes the Q the best show in the United States.
Fuck you.
That's right, baby.
Hey.
Go for it.
But anyway, back to my point being that I just feel like, and he only feeds him one bologna sandwich.
That's all he get. One bologna sandwich.
That's all they get. How is that humane? I bet they're feeding each other other bologna sandwiches in themselves too with them pink jumpsuits.
Oh, I bet you they got freaking tube steak going to town in the joint. I don't know what to tell you, man.
I just wanted to chime in and say I don't think it's right. That's all I got to say about it. And
I love it.
And
I love your opinion.
I feel like if you think it's funny that I'm from South City, St. Louis, you have a problem with South City, St. Louis. I'll tell you what, there's a place called Rec 7, and they have those gay swinging parties.
Huh?
And there's nothing but meddlem coming from there. Nothing.
Bedlam or meddlem?
Bedlam.
Bedlam.
Back to Bedlam.
Bedlam. Like Batman would create, like the Joker creates Bedlam.
Well, I mean, he
right. That's being created there with all the penis touchers and whatnot.
Is this common on your show?
I have a serious problem with it. You guys may not, but you know, whatever. I don't think they should be promoted in prisons.
Whoa. All right. Caller, we're gonna let you go. We gotta get moving on with the queue, but we appreciate you calling in tonight, sir.
Is it a sheep?
Jesus loves you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jason, who was calling in from South City, St. Louis, to talk to us about pink jumpsuits and how they make prisoners gay.
Do you think we should... You think we should do that thing called show prep when we actually work together on a show's direction?
Well, you know, being my co-host of the last 76 episodes, Joe, you would know by now that this is how this goes down. Yes, right, we get right, it. Right, the FU, right, yeah. Over and over. Well,
yeah,
where is the producer who is so boring that he just keeps repeating the same button over and over?
Can you try not to shout? Is that possible? Do you think you can do that?
Well,
you
don't. Try.
Okay, thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving on with the cue here. Chris Brown and Drake offered $1 million by a boxing promoter to settle the score in the ring, dude.
Okay.
Now, did you hear about this situation?
Yeah. Well, I know they got a feud, and I know a lot of people tell me it's on TMZ, it's on Pop Eater, it's all over the rags. I mean, everyone's talking about Drake and
Pop
Chris Brown.
Pop Eater?
Yeah, you don't go to Pop Eater? You don't do that? PopEater.com?
Nope.
It's affiliated with the Huffington Post. You like the Huffington Post?
I'm a moderate liberal. What are you?
I don't have any affiliation.
You don't have any affiliation whatsoever. So come this November, you're not going to vote at all?
Nope. Because I think that people that cling to things like that I think it's BS. I think,
really?
Yeah, I do.
You honestly believe that it's BS? To have an opinion, to vote in a direction of how you want your country to run?
Well, yeah, I don't...
I mean, not that it necessarily matters, let's be honest.
Okay, whether or not I'm a Democrat, Republican, or a conservative, or a liberal doesn't matter much to me. I think people that really take a lot of stake in that, people really, really
care... Do you have a stance?
I go with whatever I feel at the time.
And where do you feel like at this time?
I don't know. Put a topic in front of me. Ask me a question on how I'd vote on a certain issue. I'd let you know how I do it, but I don't believe...
Well, and overall, you know, there's two candidates primarily now left.
Right.
Romney, Republican. We know they're pretty much the rundown on Republicans. Now, he does have a lot of things that are very similar to Barack Obama, but for the most part, he still plays middle of the road and then to the right.
Right, but he's not Barack Obama, therefore I would vote for Romney.
Okay, so you don't like Barack Obama?
No.
And do you have a reason why you don't like Barack Obama?
The last 4 years of my life.
And what has happened in the last 4 years of your life that was Barack Obama's fault?
He is the captain of the ship.
He is the captain of the ship. Shit rolls downhill is what you're saying.
Captain of the ship.
Right, but my point is that if things are going bad, starts at the top and rolls downhill, and that's your point. Yeah, he's the big dog.
If somebody on board a ship does something that's incorrect and somebody's got to stand for it, ultimately the captain has to maintain responsibility for the actions of his crew.
All right, Joe, what is one example of something that has happened in the last 4 years that you did not agree with?
Let's see. I think there's a, what is it, a recession, is that what they call it?
That happened before he got there.
Okay. Oh, you mean it started before he got there?
Oh, yeah.
But all the bad stuff now has nothing to do with him.
Not really. I mean, if you remember, the first bailout was to the tune of $700 million. That was done by George Bush.
Right. Well,
3 months before he abdicated office.
Probably the best 8 years of my life were the 8 years of George W. Bush having the president. So.
Well, but see, here's the question. Are you placating that on the fact that
I'm giving credit
you had
to the
a lot of good things that happened to you during those 8 years?
Like economically.
Children born.
No.
Your money was okay. Things like that. Because the truth is that during those 8 years that George Bush was president, that's when you had the highest gas prices in your history of your life.
For a period of time.
Yeah. Well, for two summers in a row, you had $3.50 the one summer and then $4 the next summer. And in both cases, you were probably bitching all the way to and from the pump.
I paid like $3.36 at the pump like 2 weeks ago.
True, now. Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, you've been weeded into the system slowly so that now that $3.30 doesn't look as bad.
I get
compared
you.
To your $4 a few years ago.
To me, talking politics is like jerking off.
Right.
Okay.
No. I just want to get a general litmus on Joe Hipperson.
I understand that, but to me, again, politics is like it's a self-serving exercise. Nothing changes afterwards.
True.
You might feel good while you're saying what you believe makes a difference, but in the end, it really doesn't matter.
Right. But my point was that you said that you had specific reasons. Like this past weekend on my show, we had an 18-year-old Taryn. He's never voted before in his entire life.
Well, he's only 18.
Right. So I asked him. I said, "Who are you going to vote for this fall?" Just in general. You know what I'm saying? He goes, not Barack Obama. And I said, why? He had no reasons other than the fact that he didn't want Barack Obama. I was like, okay, well, that's great. You know, you should at least have a reason why you don't like a certain person. Waking up in the morning and just not liking somebody, that's probably not a good idea. Because then you just walk around all day with a chip on your shoulder. As if everybody thinks that I do that. Actually, I'd never walk around with a chip on my shoulder. But I'm very opinionated. It's the truth.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Beautiful.
You want to cover that or not?
Nope.
Why not?
Not part of my show.
Really?
Hey.
Would you like to tell...
We save that for other shows on the network.
But would you like to tell people that our producer did just put something on our monitor to...
Our producer just put something on our monitor, ladies and gentlemen, about Miami Zombies.
Well, about the...
Probably wearing LeBron jerseys.
It was about the bath salt thing, and I just thought it was kind of interesting.
And he had no drugs in his system except for weed. I guess there's another zombie-like attack.
You're not a big fan of everybody talking about that, are you?
Don't care.
Okay.
I got my own thing. I was in the middle of the Joe Hipperson. Oh, it was the same attack. Oh, the Miami Zombie guy didn't have bath salts in his system. All he had was weed.
That's my point.
That's kind of crazy. Dude was just nuts.
Or infected. They're going to infect the homeless first when the zombie outbreak happens.
What if they wear pink jumpsuits? Would they be...
No, they'll infect the homeless.
Would they be a homosexual and infected? According to our caller, they would be. That's what happens when you put on pink jumpsuits.
Well, what you're saying is that people are infected with homosexuality? Did you just say that?
No, what I said was our caller said that if you put on pink jumpsuits, just like they do in Texas prisons, that could lead to homosexuality.
I think a bunch of guys in one place with no air conditioning could lead to homosexuality.
Probably. Let's get back to this whole politics thing with you. So the 8 years
really?
Of George Bush were fantastic for you.
Economically, I prospered more than I have in my entire adult life. I have no real specific that I want to give to this except to say that I like to give credit to the person in charge when things go well.
We have another caller who's calling in. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, quick comment. Just want to say, Mark, just appreciate the way you're taking control of this whole talk show right now. Just want to throw that out.
Yeah. I don't appreciate it. This guy is out of control, taking stuff over. He's throwing me against the wall.
I haven't shouted.
Running me over. You have to shout over the top of me because I yell.
I noticed that.
Yeah. All this is going down right now.
It's deafening.
It's horrible. You think my guests hate me because of that?
It could be.
They don't want to come back? Or could it be the fact that people yell random shit at the end of my shows out in the lobby area? And they don't like that.
That isn't too inside at all, is it?
Well, we love baseball, don't we? All right. So Chris Brown, Drake offered $1 million to box. Would you watch that?
No.
So everybody out there knows what's going on. Chris Brown and Drake, the two rappers / R&B guys, Got into a little fisticuffs at a Miami, was it a Miami or New York club? Neither a Miami or a New York club. Actually, hold on.
No difference.
New York nightclub. Over Rihanna, actually, because Drake likes Rihanna, Chris Brown beat Rihanna. You know, you can see this. And basically, at the end of all this stuff, the situation ended up with bottles being thrown, people getting cut, women getting hurt, and a lot of fighting going on. So now two boxing promoters who like to do those celebrity boxing matches.
So Chris Brown and Drake were both at a New York nightclub.
Yes.
And women were beaten.
And there were not necessarily beating them. They weren't going out of their way to beat the women.
But Chris Brown and Drake walked
into a
place.
They were at a nightclub
and
beating the women also happened at the same time.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understand.
So businessman Alki David has put up $3 million of his own dollars, $1 million for Brown and Drake each, and $1 million to help a battered women's charity to entice the two hip-hop stars to fight. Neither camp has replied yet, so I'm assuming that that's probably not going to happen.
It'll happen. It'll be a big pay-per-view event. They're just right now backdoor figuring out who Don King's going to go with. They're going to do a whole big thing on it. It'll be massive.
It'll be huge. It'll be massive.
Yeah.
It will be huge.
I really don't want to put any stake in it. I mean, if you really want to...
Stop taking over my show, Joe!
I'm not.
Just ridiculous how you walk all over me.
I'm actually... I'm your guest.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Every topic's been...
Till your callers are calling in and telling me how you're walking. And then I noticed it as soon as he said it. I noticed it at that point. You're walking all over me, man. You're taking over the queue. What, is this going to become the J for Joe? The J Show with Joe Hipperson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, is that what's getting ready to happen?
Yeah, that's my big manipulative tack.
Yeah?
No, these have been your topics. These are things you want to talk about. Yeah. I'm happy with that. I'm happy to talk about them as well if people want to...
I tried to talk about topics I like your politics...
I don't have any politics. I don't really think it's that necessary. I really don't.
You're afraid to put it out there because you don't want to get that union card and go over to Camel X.
What are you talking about? I really don't like to get political.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here on the show. When we come back, Joe, are you going to stick around?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, I think it would be great if you would like to stick around because I'm going to do letters from the listeners and I could use your insight.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back on the queue.
Is that really how you do that, though?
I get people to email me, and then I talk about their problems.
No, but you could try and say...
Go ahead.
We're going to do a quick break, but we'll be back. Don't forget, you can call in at 314-714-4200. This is The Q. I'm Mark Bland, and you're watching me, courtesy of iWatchRadio.com, where now you can see what I'm talking about.
On The Q, you can call in if you get a chance, 314-714-4200. But we'll be back.
I'm Mark Bland.
And this has been The Q. Go check out thecunow.com. If you want, give us a call, 314-714. I don't have the whole Christopher Walken voice that you got going on you're doing it.
No, I don't have a Christopher Walken voice, but would it kill you to say iWatchRadio.com?
Let people know where this is? You're watching this on iWatchRadio.com. Now you can finally see what we are talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back after this on The Q. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and unfortunately, it seems that our friend Joe Hipperson decided to take a leave of absence from the show. There's nothing wrong with Joe. He's a good guy, but he just can't hang with the big boys. That's what it comes right down to when it's all said and done. He gets in here, he gets frustrated, he's got to have people calling to help him out, and that shit just didn't work for him. But I like him. I like Joe Hipperson, and I'm glad he was on my show today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about some criminal aspects of this world. America's least subtle criminal wears winter coats in 97-degree heat, takes 20 smoke breaks a day, and exudes confidence unseen of in this universe. That's right. America's least subtle criminal has been arrested in Maryland after stealing as much as $60,000 in merchandise from a Nordstrom warehouse. What Donald Norman did right was play things extremely cool. He would go to work at the loading docks, slyly conceal a number of stolen goods on his person, pop out to deposit the merchandise into his car, and then return to his post, chill as a gazpacho, like nothing had happened at all. What Donald Norman did wrong was pretty much everything else. He wore a long winter coat to work on a 97-degree day, for instance, and blatantly stuffed the sleeves full of loot. He took 15 to 20 smoking breaks a day, although he did not smoke. And he literally opened boxes, placed stolen merchandise in his car while loss prevention officers and board employees whose single task is to prevent the loss of merchandise around the area watched. CBS reports that he wasn't slinking around corners in an exaggerated tiptoe while sneaky music played. Norman was operating his own mom-and-pop Nordstrom shop right there in his dining room, ironically named Keepsake PL in Waldorf Manor.
Keepsake place, I guess.
He would sell it from his house like it was Nordstrom's counter, said Sergeant Aubrey Thompson of the Special Enforcement Division. Some of the items Norman pilfered, he sold to his friends at unbeatable prices at 70% discounts. The rest he returned to Nordstrom for a refund. The only flaw in his business plan was that Nordstrom did it first. Norman is now in police custody and faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted. So yes, you have a Nordstrom's employee who likes to steal stuff. Go figure, considering the prices that they charge at Nordstrom's. Who wouldn't want to steal the crap and try to sell it for even half price? Seriously, a pair of shoes for $350? Half price, that's $175. That's a nice cha-ching in someone's pocket. I know that looked kind of weird. But that's a nice cha-ching in somebody's pocket if they're trying to make some quick money. To be honest. Sell three pairs of those shoes, $600 a day. Some people don't make $600 a week. So there that is. Here in St. Louis, Missouri, we have a gentleman by the name of Reverend Larry Rice. Now, Reverend Larry Rice is a very instrumental individual in the daily goings-on of the society and culture of the St. Louis metro area. Mr. Rice runs KNLC Channel 24 in the St. Louis area. Now, if you don't know about St. Louis, because I know I have a lot of listeners nationally, and please give me a call in if you have any experience working with Reverend Larry Rice. 314-714-4200. He's one of those people that has a religious background. He's got a religious church that he runs via his network. And through that church, he likes to help the homeless, which is an amazing feat in itself because it's a good thing that he's doing for people. Well, recently, Mr. Rice has been dealing with a lot of beatings by the St. Louis government in the fact that there were a couple of areas in the St. Louis area where homeless people were living, whether it be underground and in like tunnels and things like that, that the government went out of their way to shut down. So Reverend Larry Rice, being a good person and having his own downtown homeless shelter that he runs, he's looking for other opportunities for homeless shelters in the area. Well, let me give you this little piece of story right here that I think you'll find extremely interesting. Reverend Larry Rice is poised to pull off another high-profile attempt to house St. Louis's homeless in the Galleria Mall in Richmond Heights. Now, for any of you guys out there watching or listening to the show, it's Tuesday afternoon. Don't call in. 314-714-4200. That's the number here at iWatch Radio if you would like to join us live on the show so that you could give us your opinion. But Richmond Heights, It's a nicer area in the St. Louis area. You know, it's right outside the downtown area. And we have a caller on the phone. If I could get someone to go ahead. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the queue.
Hey, how you doing? I just got a quick little comment about this story.
Sure.
You know, helping somebody out is one thing.
All right.
And, hey, why not take them to Crestwood Mall?
Right.
Or why not take them to somewhere else? If your hopes are to just help somebody out, why make such a big splash in such a
high-profile area?
Oh, it's a high-profile area.
Yeah.
So if you really just want to help somebody out, the Crestwood Mall is really vacant. There's just some artsy things there. There's nothing really much going on. Why not take them there?
And see, that's my point. I didn't even get a chance to really read the rest of the story, sir. And I'm sorry, what's your name? I didn't catch that.
Chris.
Basically, Chris kind of jumped on this one. So let me just catch them up real quick, Chris, because I want to answer your question. Basically, I was explaining that Reverend Larry Rice is trying to create a homeless shelter that's going to be in the Galleria Mall, which is a very nice, highfalutin mall in the St. Louis area. It's a very, very awesome mall. And it's in a very well-to-do area close to Clayton and Richmond Heights. And Maryland Heights and that whole area. Well, I don't know about Maryland Heights, but I think we're in Maryland Heights right now. But down in a very affluent area of St. Louis. And basically, he's dragging homeless people out to the tune of 30, 40, 50, maybe. Let me see if it's got it. 35 homeless men and women, and counting, says it right here in the story. He's bringing them to this mall. That's a working everyday mall where very, very well-to-do people and middle class, as well as lower and upper lower class and people like that, are all shopping.
There's some pretty exclusive stores there, though. You got to make sure that...
Oh, you have a Nordstrom's there. I just did a Nordstrom story. You have a Nordstrom's there.
Not a Nordstrom's. There's stores there that don't exist anywhere else but there.
Right. And so by dragging... Like, okay, so my question for you, Chris, is... Do you have a problem with the homeless being, like you said, you don't have a problem with them maybe if they go to like a mall that's not really being used, like a Crestwood Plaza? You have a problem with them being brought to a mall like that's being used and isn't, like, what do you think would happen?
Because
I agree with you. I want you to know I agree with you.
Well, first of all, you got to ask these things. Larry Rice, on the outside, seems to do a lot of great things.
Yes,
and
sir.
A lot of things that I listened to you. You said, you know, does a lot of good things, but why make it such a stink and take them to the Galleria? Why not take them somewhere that's air conditioned, cooled? Of course, it's going to be pretty hot. But of course, what he's doing is looking for some pat on the back, looking for some news, and that's not right. You should be, if you're really helping these people out, you figure out a way to help them out to where it doesn't cause so much problems. Take me to Crestwood Mall.
No, I think you're right. I think you make a great point, and that was going to be my point. It was the fact that, Larry, we get it. By bringing them to the Galleria, you're making a little, you're rattling your saber a little bit.
I got a better one.
What's that?
Hey, Larry, you know what? It is ridiculously hot out there.
Yep.
And you got 50, 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's a lot of cleaning up to do. How about we put them all to work? To the best of their abilities,
right.
To the best of abilities. Maybe it's just picking up trash, doing this. And how about we all pitch in a little bit of money and get them a Motel 8 or Motel 6, and then they come back the next day, then they do some work, and we put them back in the hotel. How about we get them back in the being useful in the society instead of just saying, okay, well you got a problem, let's just sit and cause a problem in the mall.
Now, Chris, let me ask you an interesting question about this. Do you feel that homeless people? Now, I mean, I don't know how many homeless people you've met. I've met one in my life, a person who was truly homeless, and to this day that I know, and I don't know where this individual is, that is homeless, okay? Now,
I've met zero.
You've met zero, okay. I've met an actual homeless man. Now, I wouldn't say that I ever had this conversation with this individual, but do you feel, as a person who's witnessing this from the outside looking in, that a majority of the homeless people in the United States of America are probably not trying to get a job? They're not wanting to work. Do you think that might be a case?
Well, you know, that's a tough question to ask, because there's always been homeless people, no matter what period of time it has been in the past 50 years, there's always been homeless people, and there will always be homeless people, whether it's they just are so depressed, such in a tight spot. There's legit reasons for certain people to be in those positions, and there's reasons why people can get out of those things. But to answer your question, I think that doing what he's doing, back on the topic, what he's doing is just BS. It's not really helping somebody out. It's causing a stir.
Right. It literally is, and it's just a way for. And I think that it's going to potentially have more detriment to it than it's going to have positives, because of the fact that you're introducing people into a situation, especially at the Galleria, like at Crestwood Plaza.
Let me ask you this. If I owned a landscaping company, okay, a very large one in St. Louis, the largest there was, okay, and I said, look, Larry, for the people that were physically able, I would like to go ahead and start employing them right now at $8 an hour, plus give them a $39.95.
I doubt most of them would do it.
That's my problem. That's my problem. Or I'll tell you what, how about one more thing?
That was my question earlier to you, though, Chris.
I find a therapist or a psychologist to volunteer their time to get them over whatever it is that's keeping them down. Mm-hmm. Let's help them. I mean, it's great that you're cooling them off, but if you really want to help them, the help is, hey, let's get back in society. Let's get back to getting up every day and doing some work.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for calling into the queue, sir. I appreciate it.
See you.
All right, take care. That was Chris right there on the queue here on iWatch Radio. You're watching it every single week. We're getting close to the end of the show. Short show today, guys. Sorry. Nothing I can do about it. But we had Joe Hipperson on, so that worked out great. I love Joe. He's a good guy. And I do appreciate Joe coming on the show. Thank you very much to Joe Hipperson. Letters from the listeners. Let's do it. Your favorite part of the show. Let's knock this bad boy out. Dear Mark, why are you so controversial in the things you say and do? Well, let's be honest. They do say some of us were put here on Earth just to stir the pots. Maybe I'm a pot stirrer. It's possible. I like the show, and the thing with Travis Cook flipping out was a classic. The video is even better. Thank you for that. Regardless, I do have to get your opinion on this. Hired full-time, and I make a good living. My work involves a lot of data entry, verification, blah, blah, blah. You know, I am a programmer at heart and figured out how to make a script to do all my work for me. I have, between coworkers, they have 90% accuracy rating and 60 to 100 transactions a day completed. I have 99.6% accuracy and over 1,000 records a day completed. No one knows I do this because everyone's monthly accuracy and transaction count are tallied at the end of the month, which is now how we earn our bonus. The scum part is I get 85 to 95% of the entire bonus pool, which is a huge sum of money. Most people are fine with their bonuses because they don't even know how much they would be would bonus regularly. I'm guessing they get between $100 to $200 bonus a month, honestly. They would get a lot more if I didn't bot. So Marky Mark, am I a scumbag? I work about 8 hours a week doing real work. The rest is spent playing video games on my phone. So you have a guy who's a computer programmer. He creates a program to do his job a lot easier, and it's also giving him the back-end bonus, which he is accounting now for 85%. 85% of the bonuses at the end of the month are going into his pocket. That means everybody else's are lower because of him taking up so much of it. He wants to know, is he a scumbag for that? You know, there's an old adage. They say, give the laziest man in the factory the hardest job to do, and he'll find the easiest way to accomplish it every single time. I'm not saying that you fall into that category, but here's the thing. You got a job, you found a way to do it well, and probably if they found out about that, you might even be out of a job yourself because your program obviously does your job better than you could have ever done it or everybody else in your pool does it. So I don't think you're necessarily a scumbag, but I think that you might be teetering on the edge of being too smart for your own good because you're about ready to put yourself out of work. That's my honest opinion. I could care less because at a job, and when you get to corporations, most corporations really don't care about the people so much. They care about the work getting done at an accurate, high level and rate so that they can accrue more money at the end of the month. That's literally what most jobs and businesses are built to do. So if you're doing that, more kudos to you, bro, but you could be setting yourself up and you could be losing a bunch of other people their jobs too because they take two or three of your bots and they just wipe out 17 people because they don't need you guys. So keep that in the back of your mind, man. You could be hurting yourself, but I don't think you're a scumbag for it. Mark, last one. This is Michael from Philadelphia. Love all the shows and had an interesting conversation brought about by your show the other night. You talk a lot about fat people and not liking them being fat, which you kind of have a belly going on there in some of your Facebook picks, bro. Thanks. Yeah, I get it. I got a little bit of a gut, but I carry it well, I think. So why do you think it's socially acceptable to tell a smoker they should stop smoking because it's bad for their health, but it's not acceptable to tell an obese person they should stop eating because it's bad for their health or to eat less? You know, that's a great question. I think it's the fact that smoking is not something that you have to do as a part of being a human being. Like, you have to drink water. You have to have water in your system. You have to eat food. You have to have shelter. Things like that. Things that are needs in life you have to have. Smoking's not a need, it's a want. It really isn't. Of course, a smoker will tell you it's a need because they're addicted to the nicotine. But the truth is that smoking is not a need, it's a want. So to tell someone who has a want, well, you can't afford a Porsche right now. You're just gonna have to deal with your Malibu. Okay. They get that. So you don't need a cigarette right now. You need to stop smoking unless you'd have a better life if you did that. Okay, they get it. Do you see my point? But when you try to tell somebody, hey, you need to eat less. I mean, that's kind of like coming up to you saying, hey, you know, I know that, spaghetti carbonara is your favorite meal, but you gotta cut that down to four or five times a year to one time a year. You'd look at me and go, No, I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing for the last 5 years and eating spaghetti carbonara as much as I want to say. It's just one of those boundary line step overs, you know, a moral compass type thing. So I understand where you're coming from. I see the gray area you're talking about, but I don't think there's a fix for it. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, so there's no reason to really worry about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to say thank you to iWatch Radio. Now you can finally see what we are talking about for hosting the show every single week. Also, thanks for supporting the show, even through emails and everything as you guys do as fans. But I never really ask, and I'm looking for some donations for the show, actually. Anything can be helpful. If you want to know how to help out the show, please contact me. Go to the contact page at theqnow.com. And don't forget to go to theqnow.com. Go to theqnow.com. Check out old episodes, new episodes, and everything in between. A lot of good stuff there. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Joe Hipperson, who had to bank out a little bit early, thank you so much to Joe Hipperson for being on the show. My name is Mark Bland. That's going to do it for this episode of The Queue.